Baptist Church for the evening service, and we rejoice together in opening our hymn books in number 255. We say hello to those who are in the extended family away in the internet, and we praise the Lord that we are able to look upon the scripture again in a very interesting passage in reference to the entire final moments of this world. The meantime, we praise God for what we have today, 255. To you in the name of Jesus, our Lord, and we surrender our life to you, saying, Lord, be our Lord, manager the affairs of our life, give us light and insight and what to do, give us a strength for the tough moments, and give us the courage to carry your cross with dignity and honor, because we love you. Bless us, O God, tonight, as we praise your name, as we look upon the scripture again, and this wholesome book of Revelation, who reveal to us who you are in the splendor and in the glory of your person. In Jesus we pray and thank you. Amen. All right, we select hymns from your own self, and you can choose a hymn. We sing that hymn, and if you are listening, you can tap into our computer. Our board of directors in the back, read it and tell us what hymn do you really want to. All right? And so, today we have a long chapter, so I'm going to cut it at 20. See if I can swing chapter 16 entirely, the seven bowels of God. Otherwise, I cut it in a half. But at 20, I cut the music. So, now, there is Brother Plika. 55. All right? Number 55. All right, let me see now. We have the excitement on the wall stop, and our electronic watches all synchronize. And she went back. quickly. All right. The girls are looking to you and say, what's wrong with that boy? 81? 381. All right, 381. Nothing wrong with this boy, girls. It's okay. Just a boy, just a boy. I know she liked 204. All right, 204. Larita won 204. All right. Little Lara, Larita. All right. I know that. You don't like that. All right. Senior. Uh-huh.
Let's go to 132.
132. All right, I know when Greg died, I know what he likes. 132. All right.
When I die, tell me true about me today.
All right. People who are religious, Christ lives in their head, maybe. But when we are saved by grace, like we learned this morning, Peter's sermon, remembering the lesson, and we started a whole chapter in the class. And one of the teachings of Paul said the conclusion is that we are saved by the grace of Jesus. All right? And so that's personal. Least within our heart. That's the difference. All right. Let's keep on going. Mary Kasangin. 198. Now. This morning we have the Lord's Supper, or communion, and We have the symbol of the blood. And I remember a Jewish professor and teacher and coach and the University of Los Angeles. Somebody wanted me to visit with him. And he asked me the question, if I believe in the blood of Christ. Well, blood is what circulates in our life, right? The Bible said life is in the blood. And medicine said the life is in the blood. And when you are sick, what the doctor does? He takes a blood examination. He can know if you have cancer or have other things. So everything is on the blood. But it's a different story when we said life is in the blood in Christ. It means that his life was placed in my place, you know. And the Jewish people cannot take that. They rejected that idea. All right? And then if you rejected that, you rejected salvation by Christ. Simple like that. All right, one more song. Okay, yes, Barbara. 281, good. We called the police this morning to find out where you are, and now we know that you are here, okay? 281, all right. Verify this, and Hebrews 13:5 said, let your behavior or conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he said, Jesus said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Well, how wonderful are they? That's wonderful. Here is one of the values of the hymn book. These hymns has been the expression of God's word in the hearts of the poet, in the hearts of the people. Number 2 and 281. That's Christ, supposed to be the love of a husband for a woman. Remember what the Bible says? The husband should love the wife as Christ loves the church. So, girls, when you're going to get married, be sure you can really detect that unconditional love of that man that's going to be your husband. All right? Good. Now, one more, and we close the session on singing. All right? Yes. Oh, who say? Oh, Tricia. Number 40. Yes, great is thy faithfulness. Yes, indeed. Number 40. We encourage you to take the Bible to the very last book of the Bible, because in the evening for a long time we're trying to understand and discern and trying to comprehend God's plan for the universe, which is described right here in the Bible. All right? In the book of Revelation, as you remember, always I start with Revelation in chapter 1. And in verse 1, the very first verse of Revelation, who says in this way, who by reading the verse, you get the idea of what you have in the book. The revelation of Jesus Christ. It is not a mystery of Jesus Christ, but the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him. The original read, the apocalyptics. And so the revelation is the final revelation of Jesus Christ. And rather the title being Revelation should be the Greek title Apocalyptics, which means the last things to happen. And so God is going to reveal the last things to happen. And we've been dwelling in this book with great patience through the chapters and through the paragraph. And we have learned that God has divided three seasons of first giving the people a warning. Very kindly, remember, the water turns into blood. And I check what Revelation said is what really happened in Exodus. And I have to tell you, I believe what the Bible says. And Exodus said that the water, remember, turned into blood. So it's going to come again. And now, after those little warnings, there came strong warnings, and nobody paid attention to it. And so now in chapter 15, God prepare us for the final moment of this world. In Revelation 16, it is the final moment of this world. And I only will have time to deal with four impacts. And God's willing, the coming Sunday, deal with the other three impacts. There are seven impacts, one after the other like this, that God is going to shake the world and come to a conclusion, and then God wraps the whole thing on. You know, it is a developer came here measuring the building in trespass, really, because you can come in here and go to the office and knock for somebody, but you come in here, park your trucks, get the personnel measuring and so on. That's a trespassing thing. So I get out and smiling and said, "Sir, can I help you?" He said, "Yes, I measured this. I want to buy this." I said, "Well, come in. I just finished and got the project for our church in the computer." And so I said, "I'll show you what the architect has designed." And he saw the building. He said, "Well, that costs about $3-4 million. I think it will cost about $6 million. He said, "Well, you have this tiny little building. This is the way they think. You have this tiny little building. Then we make another tiny little building for you." I said, "You know, not talking to me, you're talking to God. And when God builds something, check the Bible on Solomon's temple. This is going to be Solomon's temple in Warren Hill." And he wrapped up everybody and left. And it is very important that people know that we don't want to build a tingling tent. We're going to build a Solomon's temple because God is on it. All right? And they're going to pay. They don't know yet, but they know that this is what God wants to. And God's going to bring it in if you come to prayer. God's going to bring it in. So now, people don't believe the world is going to end. But God said it's going to end. And so they have all kinds of theories. And God is going to bring the church to the very end, to the very end, to the very end, until the end. And God's going to hold you like we've seen number 40. Great is his faithfulness. God's going to hold you like this. And he's going to bring the world to the very end. And then crash the world and you go up. All right? There is two ways to go to heaven. One is subway. You die. Other is just airmail. You know, God takes you. And hopefully mine will be airmail. All right? Here it is. Revelation chapter 16 now is the final judgment. The ungodly ways of life will end and finish. Okay? So no more compromise in the Congress of the United States of America with abortion and with marriage. Two men can marry together or two women can marry together. There will be no more compromise because man is going to be gone. All right? And so here we have it. Verse 1 give you the background in Revelation chapter 16. Verse 1, here's the background. I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, "Go your ways and pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth." So let's look in the verse. First, the voice of God is heard. I heard a great voice. The better translation of the word great, magna, is the word loud. In the New King James Version carried that. The old King James carried the word great as the literal translation of the word magna. Magna means magna carta. Remember, you have in the Constitution the magna carta. Means the majestic, big. When you relate it to a speaking, magna means loud. And so a loud voice. Now, who speak with a loud voice? You put one hand here, and if you go to the fifth book of the Bible, the book of Deuteronomy, in chapter 5, and in verse 22, you have an idea that God speaks with that kind of a precision. In Deuteronomy chapter 5, and in verse 22, if you don't have an outline, there is an outline right there in the back in the auditorium, and you can get it to help you. These words the Lord spake unto all the assembly in the mount out of the midst of the fire, of the cloud, and of the thick darkness, with a great voice. You got it? With a great voice. With a loud voice. Who spoke those? You look at the word Lord. The word Lord is capital. All right? Letters mean Jehovah. Jehovah spoke. When Jehovah speaks, he speaks with a loud voice to proclaim that. And so here is what the voice of God is heard. That's what Revelation, going back to Revelation 16, verse 1, I heard a great voice out of the temple. The voice of God is heard. Now, the voice has authority, okay, saying to the seven angels, go your way. Now, remember, there were seven angels ready to hurt the earth and finish this world in which we live. And now nobody can command these angels. No church has the key for these angels, only God. And now God has the voice of authority and he said, go. You see that word? Go. Let's go to Psalm chapter 11. And Psalm 11 and verse 4, all right, in our Bibles. Psalm 11, I'm looking here, in verse 4. The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids try the children of man. His eyes behold, his eyelids try the children of men. God is a God of authority. His voice, he's in the temple, and he is not taking an option from the congregation what we should do. He tells what you to do. Now, Thompson, I cannot tell you. God tells you. I can tell you when I read the scripture, do this. But I as a man, don't have the authority of God. And no man had the authority of God. But when you read the Bible, that's the authority of God. And God is saying, go. Let's go back to Revelation. Then we have the voice in the background of the chapter. You hear the voice of God loudly. Then you hear the authority of God. God said, go. And then the voice of God is the final command, because we read in Revelation 16, verse 1, go your ways and pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth. Ladies and gentlemen, these are the final words you ever heard about God in telling the angels what to do. God has given instruction to mankind. God has done all kinds of things verbally. But these are the last words of God. They are not the words of love and compassion. They are the words of wrath. That's very serious. These are not the words to say, all right, I came to say, this is the word. You don't hear it. You disregard my offer of salvation. Now the wrath of God is coming upon mankind. All right. Now, there are seven impacts of the wrath of God and finish with mankind. Let's take them one by one. Impact number one is in verse 2. And the first angel, went and poured out his vial of his bowls upon the earth, and there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the men which had the mark of the beast, and upon them which worship his image. Here is the impact. Verse 2. Harmful wounds are placed upon mankind. Harmful wounds are placed upon mankind. Now, class, look the verse again. Who get those wounds? What kind of people? Unbelievers. Unbelievers. You see it? Verse 2. And the first went and put out his vial upon the earth, and there fell a noise and a grievous wounds upon the men which had the mark of the beast. Anybody who was born had the mark of the beast, and then God take it away. Now, if you go to, again, to the book of Deuteronomy, which has a lot of things to do with Revelation, almost by the end of the book in chapter 28, in Deuteronomy, the fifth book of the Bible, in chapter 28, and on verse 35, we read, the Lord shall smite these in the knee and in the legs with a sore, with a harmful wound, botch that cannot be healed, from the sole of thy foot unto the top of thy head. They cannot be healed. You got it? Cannot be healed. And that's what God is going to do. It's going to produce an impact in the unbelievers, a tremendous impact on these harmful wounds that cannot be healed. Doctors and science and biologists will gather together and try to study what is this new disease, and nobody will find the remedy for it. And so chapter 16, verse 2, the first impact, a harmful wounds upon humanity, and the target is the followers of the Antichrist. You see it over there? The followers of the Antichrist are the target of God. Now, as we go through the chapter, you and I will have the opportunity to see if the church is going to be harmed or not. I guarantee to you it's not, But you and I will see it. So the first impact, here are all these unbelievers, suddenly they get a disease. Now, from time to time, I hear people said, I have cancer. From time to time, I said, I have a lung disease. I visit some people in San Diego, and they said, well, I have clots in my veins and in my heart to the point that a mesh is need put in before the ventricles of the heart. So that when the blood comes in, they have a filter, and the clot will not take the ventricle and the muscle, and the heart can pump freely. So those things happen, and mankind has engineered. Can you imagine? Put a mesh inside the little orifice that the blood came in, where the pump is, put a mesh over there. And I was talking to these people, and the doctor said, amazing, we're going to take the mesh. I think that the clots are out, and they're going to take the mesh. The mesh is now part of the vein and cannot take it away. So they have a total protection for lifetime. The doctor said, well, the guy is protected for lifetime. It's a nice mesh so that when the blood comes in, filter first and then goes in, and clots will not get into the heart. So man is quite a genius. Is that right? Mankind is quite a genius in one sense. It's trying to study a problem and solve the problem, especially in medicine. But there will be a wound, said here, that mankind, remember Deuteronomy chapter 28, 35, mankind would not find a solution to it. Then you know this is of God. Impact number 2, verse 3. Look at the impact. And the second angel poured out his vial upon the sea, and it became as the blood of the dead man, and every living soul died in the sea. Now, class, some of you study biology, and some of you know a little bit. How is the blood of a dead man? Is dry, right? When a body dies, it still has blood. The blood doesn't go away, but the blood dry. All right? And so, except on the Jewish people, have you been in a Jewish ceremony? They take the body to the carnage where they clean it. They inject it chloroform. And by pressure, they clean the blood. And they take all the blood from the veins and your organs all away. It takes about 2-3 hours because nothing unclean will go into the earth. Remember, that's the book of Leviticus. And so they have to clean the body. The Jew knew that the blood becomes unclean. And so here's what they said. The second angel poured out his vial upon the sea, and the blood became like the blood of dead man, dry. And so, of course, all the fish who were swimming over there, they had no more to eat. And they all die. Now, what is the target? The target is all the sea creatures, food supply. If you like salmon, and if you like mahi-mahi, I don't know what kind of fish you like it, crabs or whatever, they will be dead. Now, how ABC is going to explain this, how CNN is going to explain this, I don't know. But I tell you, they will be dead, and there will be no more seafood for anybody. You will go to Pier 39. At the end, it's a beautiful restaurant, and you ask for crab soup. I'm sorry, the fish are dead. But mankind is not repenting yet. No verse said here that mankind will repent and say, oh, God, please. Nobody is coming to church to pray. Doesn't say that. Second impact, then, sea creatures. Third impact, verse 4-7. What is the impact? Drinking unusable water. Look at verse 4. And the third angel poured out his vial upon the rivers and fountains of water, and they became blood. We talk in Sunday school with the class today. One thing that there are three things that you cannot do in church as a believer. Remember, Paul said there are three things. You are free in the gospel, but there are three things you cannot do. Number one, you cannot have an idol. Your wife cannot be an idol, your husband cannot be an idol, your children cannot be an idol, your money cannot be an idol. You cannot have an idol. Number two, you cannot eat sausage with blood because life is in the blood. I don't know how you are, but But in Poland, they eat sausage with blood. You cannot eat that. That's a prohibition from God, because that means you cannot kill a chicken by choking the chicken. You have to cut the head off, and the blood has to be clean. That's part of the Bible. And then, thirdly, you cannot have impurity in your moral life. That's what they said. And so here it is. The impact is tremendous. The drinking usable water. You're going to drink water and it's blood. And you're going to drop it. It's no more. Now, your body needs water. Your body is 60% water. So you need water. Water produces water. All right? Now, verse 6, the target. And just a murderous world. Look at verse 5. And I heard the angel of the waters say, thou art righteous, O Lord, which are and was and shall be, because thou hast judged us. In other words, what you are doing, God, is correct. Verse 6, the reason. For they have shed the blood of the saints and the prophets, and thou hast given them blood to drink, for they are worthy. In other words, those countries which have been more hard to the gospel and have hurt those people who were preaching the Lord Jesus Christ, those countries are going to be hurt harder than anybody else. All right? Now, what is the reason? The reason is to execute justice. Verse 7, and I heard another out of the altar say, even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are thy judgments. In other words, we preachers are free from judging people and getting vengeance from people. We don't have to do that. God will do it in his time. And when he does it, there is no backup. Like this guy who was sentenced to die, and now he's going to suffer so he cannot die. All right? And you will see, the lawyers will have a real feast in these. They will make a big argument. Nobody dies for 100 years or so. All right? Because the guy going to die and he suffer. Okay? Now, there's no way God. God's going to get somebody who kills somebody or who stopped the gospel to go on. God is going to judge it. And when he judges it, you're going to suffer. And you're going to be dead. All right? Impact then, number 3 was drinking and usable water is going to be gone. Unjust, murderous world is going to be judged. And God execute justice. There is no problem with that. Impact number 4, verse 8 and 9. The impact is severe heat and radiation. Look at verse 8. And the fourth angel pour out his vial upon the sun, and power was given unto him to scorch men with fire. The word men doesn't mean male, means mankind, anthropos. So here it is. Impact number 4 is a severe heat and radiation upon this earth, which just take about 3 or 4 millimeters of the sun to come down a little, and we are gone. All right. Now the target, religious and hardened men. Look at verse 9. And men were scorched with gray heat and blasphemed the name of God, which had power over these plagues, and they repented not to give him glory. Do you see that? In impact number 4 is to get everyone in the area, and the people who are ungodly remain ungodly. You know, I have in my mind some people that I pray from time to time who are ungodly. And I ask my wife, and they're part of my family. I ask my wife, you know, why God did not save so-and-so and so-and-so? And they're ungodly. They're mysteries of God. It's not a mystery. I said, they have been for 40, 50 years heard the word of God. They saw it in the life of Christians and so on. And they remain ungodly until this day. They read the scripture. They agree with you, but they remain ungodly until this day. So there will be people like that. And God's going to take care of them. You and I don't have to take care of them. God take care of them. Impact number 5, verses 10 and 11. The impact blows out the heat and the light of the day. Look at verse 10. And the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seat of the beast, and his kingdom was full of darkness, and they gnagged their tongue for pain. No more daytime. No more daytime. Blows out the heat and the light of the day. You know, light produces heat. And it's gone. All right? Now, see the target. The seat of the kingdom of the Antichrist. Look at verse 10. And the kingdom was full of darkness. Where this Antichrist, this movement, this social movement that the world is going to create against religion, whether in Europe or in the Americas or in Africa, whatever that movement will be, whatever that seat of Satan will be, is going to be burned out. God is going to zero in into that place and get that kingdom what they deserve. Now the reaction, look at verse 11. And blaspheme the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores and repented not of their deeds. You think that those people say, we have enough. That is enough, God. I will really understand this. Please, but not. And if you look at Matthew chapter 24, the prophecy comes all the way from Joel, but, makes the climax in Matthew chapter 24, 29, a very classic verse. In Matthew, at the end of that great tribulation, the Bible said in Matthew 24, 29, for unto everyone that, let me see, I'm reading 25, I get it, 24. Here it is. For there shall arise false Christ and false prophets, 29. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened and the moon shall not give her light. In other words, once all the tribulation has been done and the stars shall fall from heaven and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. In other words, part of the constellation is going to be changed. You know, some people thought the end of the world is an explosion. No, it's just a tiny little by little. And the mercy of God is a tiny little by little torque. See, people repent. But they repent not. Okay? So you can see that the forecast of after the tribulation, after everything is gone, at the very end, everybody is coming to the very end. And at the very end, God is torquing the world to see somebody repent and they not. Heat will be won. Fifth impact then, blows the heat in the light. Now sixth impact, verse 12 and 16. The impact is the Garden of Eden dries up. Look at verse 12. And the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the waters thereof was dry up, and the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. America, when the invasion of Iraq has a great problem because the bridges were blow up from the rivers and then you had to build bridges and so on. And you cannot cross from Turkey to this place and the other. And all of this is going to dry up and it's going to be like a flat land in the area. That's the sixth impact. The target is to unite the entire army of the East. And the sixth angel, verse 12, poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the waters thereof was dry up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. In other words, the whole peninsula of Arabia will be one flat land. And anybody can drive those tanks into the holy city of Jerusalem. Amazing. Now, the source of these as evil spirits. And I saw, verse 13, three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon and out of the mouth of the beast and out of the mouth of the false prophet. And so the enemy is really reacting to it. Now the day of the event, when that happened, is the final day of the world, verse 14. For they are the spirits of the devils working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of the great day of God Almighty. And so they come on to head on. They cannot take it anymore. And they said, we're going to face God head on. Poor people. Poor people. All right. Now, here's the counsel for God's people. Verse 15. Behold, I come as a thief. You know what that means? Do you expect it tonight a thief in your home? And you have your gun ready on the night table? No. As a thief means what? You don't expect it. Surprise. All right? Here it is. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments. What means keepeth his garments? You have garments. Oh, we all have garments. It's not these beautiful coats and so on. The garment of righteousness. Praise God. It's a garment that I cannot see it. It's much beautiful. You know what happened to me yesterday? I went to buy... I lose this relic, this beautiful watch that I have. It's a very unique, only one made in the world and so on. And I send it for repair, and boy, the guy gave me another watch. And I said, "Now, sir, this is not my watch. I have an original tower, synchronized diode." He said, "Oh, yeah, I have it in the back." He tries, but a brand new watch, I don't care. This is very good. So I look around. And so Raquel had to go someplace, Bay Fair, whatever they call it, that shop. Valley Fair. And I go to Northrop's, see suits, you know, a shoes fair. I want to see shoes. And then I want to see suits. I look at one coat, you know the price? $1,290. And I look on it, and I said to the fellow, "Is this real?" "Oh, yeah, it's made in Italy. You maybe pay $50 in Italy." It's crazy. Well, I want to say, I like to have, I don't have it anymore, I used to have, a blue suit with white lines like a mafia. I like to have one like that. All right? So it's all right here, we have it right here. Oh, okay. Listen, $3,400. Are these people nuts? Well, the garment that you wear inside is much better. It's much better, don't we? Nobody made it. You know who made it? God, through the blood of Christ. You know, I feel so good. I went out, Raquel said, "You saw anything?" "I saw things ridiculous," I said. Amazing. And here it is. God's people, take care. Don't panic when you see the things. Verse 15 says, "Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garment, lest he walk naked." In other words, if you walk toward God with your righteousness, you are naked. You walk toward God with a righteousness of Christ Jesus. Praise God. And the place of the battlefield, no doubt is spelled here, verse 16, "And he gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon, which is in the Greek tongue Megiddo, and it's a city today, Megiddo." And I really believe with my heart that will be the end. That's why they're going to sit down for counsel, and that's the end of the whole world, as Zechariah 12:9 said. I want to get the 7 impact. Verse 17 to 21. You see, we are at the very end. Now, the impact, verse 17 said, "After the battle of Megiddo, it is done. And the 7 angel put out his vial into the air. And there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from his throne saying," what? "It is done." What that means to you? Did you hear those words before? Yes, you did. There's no "it is done," but very close. What is it? "It is finished." You know a great similitude? When those words "it is finished" was said, when Jesus was at the cross, the soldiers and the Romans and the Jewish people, they thought that they get Jesus, and he said, "It is finished." What that he means? It's finished his body? No, the plan of salvation has been accomplished. I die for you. I put my life for you. Believe in me and you shall have life, said Jesus. I die for you. It is finished. And now, for us believers who went through the whole tribulation and watched the world in chaos, he said, "Guys, it is done." You know, those who are a sport, Peter is not here. I'm training him to be how to be a good sport and play good soccer. And you play a tough game. You're 0-0. This is the final. And then by the mercy of God, you make a goal and you are 1-0. That's how the finals win. 1-0. Nobody win 3-4. And now it's 5 minutes to go. And you have to see that coach. I've been there. You have to see that coach with a watch like that. And when the ball comes to your side, I'm talking soccer, you know. When the ball comes to your side, that coach, he's grabbing everything. He don't want the tie, you know. And then you and the goalie, you are desperate. You're ready to kill. Somebody come over there. He charges, jumping, and the, you know. And when the whistle come in and say, it is done. Oh boy, you jump like crazy. We win, you know. And you saw the players. One go on the top of the other. I don't know why we do that, but one jump and the other jump. They all jump together. We don't know what to do. Oh, what a joy. Listen, it is done, said right here. Verse 17, it is done. You don't have to do it. I don't have to do it. Let God take care of your life. It is done. Verse now 18. What is the target? Now is the whole world. And there were voices and thunders and lightnings. And there was a great earthquake such as was not since men were upon the earth. So mighty an earthquake and so great. It is done. It is finished. The whole world is involved. What is the judgment? Verse 19. And the great city was divided into three parts. And the cities of the nations fell. The great Babylon came into remembrance before God to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. Babylon is not the church. When the Bible mentioned the word Babylon, is not the church. I want to take the time to go to Isaiah. Please go with me to the book of Isaiah in the Bible. I don't have the page number here, but if you go to Isaiah's in the Old Testament, in chapter 13... All right, Isaiah chapter 13 and verse 19. Isaiah 13 and verse 19. And Babylon, the glory of the kingdoms. You see the word kingdoms in small letters? No kingdoms with capital letters. The glory of the kingdoms, the beauty of the Chaldees, excellency, shall be as when God overthrows Sodom and Gomorrah. Is that clear that Babylon is not a picture of the church? It's a picture of the power of this world. It's a picture of the power of people who want to say, we are greater than God. And the Bible said they will be like Sodom and Gomorrah in Isaiah. We saw it right here. If you go to Revelation and verse 19, and Babylon came in remembrance before God to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of the wrath. That's the fulfillment of Isaiah chapter 13, verse 19. Now, you think that on the last minute, you think that when everybody see these, people will say, where is God? You're wrong. Verse 20, and every island fled away and the mountains were not found. And there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven, every stone about the weight of a talent. And men blaspheme God because of the plague of the hail, for the plague thereof was exceedingly great. Now we have a study today, amazing, 35 minutes, Revelation 16. You know what? I knew it. When I know it, I can teach it that way. Now here is what it is. This is the very, what do we learn tonight? We learn that the world is head on to a final moment. And it's going to happen like this, one after the other after the other. Why did not God light a match and the whole world blows away? You know why? Why? Because of the mercies of God. He wants people to be saved. Remember? He's patient for people to know him personally. But even the last verse of Revelation 16 said that people blaspheme God. All the announcers in ABC and CNN and all these stations, CBA or whatever, they all hate God and will still hating God because they had no power. What an encouragement for me and you. What is our job? I've been harassed this week by a brother. Even we were one time was with Pastor Greg. What's the name of the fellow? Mike Trout. Poor fellow. I feel so sorry. Remember Mark Trout? What? How many children? 14 now? 10. All right. I can't believe it. Poor wife, you know. God bless her heart, you know. It's just amazing. But you know, he's still battling in the wrong way. He wants to go to the city hall. He wants to go and hate the mayor of San Jose and so on. Because you have 3 minutes, you can speak again. That is not the way. God will do that in Revelation 16. God's going to take care. What is our way? What do we have to tell the mayors and so on? What do we have to tell them? We have to tell them that Jesus saved. And if he trusts the Lord Jesus, he will think quite different about every situation of life. But remember, some people will never repent. I think I had trouble with that. I told Raquel, boy, if God wants to, everybody will repent, all right? Actually, your repentance and my repentance is an act of God, all right? I guess there are mysteries. Why will not God have a better solution, save everybody, and then we live in heaven here? Why? Well, because this world has been tainted by sin, and we need to go to a new world. And we, as humanly speaking, cannot understand the beauty of heaven. We cannot understand. One day we will. But I tell you how blessed we are that we know the Lord. How blessed we are that we know the Lord. Because this is ahead. The end of the world by torture, I call it. This is torture. Click, 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 click. And at the end you say, whoa, that's enough. God, where are you? No, they blaspheme God. So don't be surprised if you witness to somebody and rather than being listening to you and being kind to you, they become like a tiger. Girls and boys, don't marry an unbeliever because you have a hell ahead of you. Marry in the Lord. Or you will have difficulties when you marry in the Lord. Yes, yes. But you take the cross and you move on. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That he take care of us to the very end. Thank you, Father. For it is impressive, your judgment. It is impressive. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Now, Lord, give us more zeal to preach your word. Give us more kindness to show people the love of God. And give us a vision of the gospel stronger than before. So that we can offer people the solution of their life, not with our mind or with our plans, but with your word and your plans. People think the problem is the family, the house, the money. No, the problem is the heart. Thank you, Lord, for changing my heart. Lord, you're in business of changing heart and give peace to people. May people receive you as Savior and Lord. In Jesus we pray. Amen. All right. Ready?